Well, we've been dealing with our reveals for the all-time winners as voted by you in various Stampeder categories. And the coach category goes to this gentleman, won 153 games and 3 Grey Cups with the Stampeders, en route to 282 victories and 5 Grey Cups in his career as Wally Buono. Who else joins us tonight? And Coach, welcome to the show, and just your thoughts on the Stampeder fans remembering you. You're gone, but obviously far from forgotten.
Well, good evening, Mark. It's nice, as always, to be on your show, and it's always nice to be talking to the people of Southern Alberta, especially, and the Calgary Stampeder fans. So, you know, it was a big honor when you consider the great coaches they have right now in both John Huffnagle and Dave Dickinson. I mean, when you look at what they've done, what they've accomplished over their tenure, I can't remember exactly the first year. I think it was around 2008. You know, they've done tremendous things. And, you know, so to be voted over those guys, you know, you got to really feel privileged. But if it was me, I'd have a three vote tie myself, John and Dave, and I think we'd all be happy, right?
Yeah, there's only one. Yeah, it crossed my mind too. So when you watch, you know, first John and then Dave when they coach, do you see a little of yourself in there that maybe they're taking certain tactical things or handling guys on the bench or just handling the team in general?
Well, you know what, I'm going to say I don't know that, you know, but I know how John works. I know how Dave works. I think, you know, the biggest thing that I take out of it, you know, and John was obviously a big part of this when I was there, it was the continuity within the organization, whether it was, you know, the president, the general manager, the coach, the scouting, the players, the locker room, you know, the constant continuity. And then also to the next man up, whether it was on the football field or on the coaching ranks or, you know, in the personnel department, you know, they never flinched. And, you know, and I think that's all part of the longevity that you always strive for. And, you know, John has done a great job of that. And obviously, you know, Dave mentored under him. And, you know, you don't see the apple fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, no question about that. It's certainly been obvious that you learn from each other and pass on different things that worked very well. Well, just a few days ago now, sad news in the CFL with the passing of David Brayley, a guy that you are intimately familiar with, of course. Just his legacy to the CFL. What's it going to be, you know, as he certainly put his money and invested his energies in the CFL?
Well, that's true, Mark. And, you know, and it was a sad day to get that phone call. And, you know, it was something that you had to sit down, especially myself, and, you know, take a day or two before you start to talk about it, because David meant a lot to me. We developed a great friendship over the years. I think we also had a very mutual respect for each other. But, you know, it's hard to put into words exactly what David Brayley meant to the CFL, because at the end of it, you know, it's almost unbelievable what he would do, you know, whether it was buy a franchise because of the fact that nobody else wanted to do that, or whether it was to loan money to a club to make a payroll so that it wouldn't be embarrassed and it wouldn't cause you know, issues, you know, for the league. You know, the thing that in our relationship started really in 1999, I can remember the Calgary Stampeders went to BC to play the BC Lions in the Western Final. And, you know, I think BC had a 14-14. They were a very, very good football team. But, you know, our guys were really primed to play. We went into BC Place. It was a really, really tough game, Mark. I think you remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we won late in the game, and it was very, very disappointing, you know, for the Lions. And, you know, I can remember after the game, you know, we're in the bus, almost ready to go, I think, at that time, in the West airlock. Buses could come in and pick up the visiting team. And, you know, David all of a sudden walks into our bus, congratulates me, congratulates the football team, and you know, he just wishes the BC Lions well because of the fact that we were going to be representing the Western Division. You know, and from there, I just felt, you know, that was really a classy act, because after a game, Mark, as you well know, especially after a loss like that, the last thing you want to do is think about somebody else other than yourself. And, you know, from there, we developed a relationship. And I could say, you know, David was a great team player when it came to the CFL. And he always made sure that whatever it was best for the league first. And, you know, whether it was giving up a $400,000 marketing agreement with Nike, or whether it was lifting blackouts, you know, David, if he didn't agree with it and the consensus was that it was best for the league, he always went along with it.
Was he a little misunderstood? I think there's that image out there, Wally, of him kind of being a little aloof and a little hard to get along with. Obviously, you saw a completely different side of him. Is there a little bit of a misunderstanding about him?
Well, no, Mark, there wasn't. You know, I mean, David was a private individual. You know, David didn't like, you know, to tell you his business. He didn't let many, many people get close to him. And, you know, so therefore, when you look at him, you know, he does seem very much aloof, but in a almost a shy, awkward kind of person. Because when you got to know him, you know, David was fun. He enjoyed life, and you know, he really, really enjoyed football. And you know, but yet he was a very, very successful businessman, because you know, he learned to be able to separate his personal feelings and emotions from his business. And you know, when you can do that, it does at times make you look very cold, and it does make you look very aloof.
Yeah, I can see that. But obviously, as I say, at the end, he did all of these great and wonderful things. You had an online reunion of the 98 team. How much fun was that with all the different guys and chance to catch up with everybody?
Honestly, Mark, that was maybe one of my highlights of the year for me. You know, because one... you know, and I hate to say this, but, you know, your mind isn't as sharp when you're 70 as it was when you were 45 or whatever, right? So when I was asked to do it, I was so excited, but I was told that I shouldn't be doing any homework. But I said to myself, you know what, I got to go back and either watch the game or, you know, watch something and figure out who was on the roster, who was this and that. So I did all that, and it was such a great experience to go back and, you know, and just relive that journey, you know, and then to be able to speak with, you know, Mark McLaughlin and Rocco Romano and Jeff Garcia. You know, unfortunately for Calvin, he couldn't be on it. But we, you know, Calvin and I had a great conversation via email and text after that. So, you know, just reconnecting with those guys, and then making you realize how fortunate you were as a coach to have, you know, those quality players. I mean, we're talking about, you know, great, great football players. And, you know, all of those guys could be Hall of Famers. I know some of them are, but, you know, again, and then just to see their passion still for their team and their teammates, you know, was just a great event.
You guys just picked up where you left off, it looked like, anyway, didn't you?
No, Mark, that's the thing about sports, and I think this is what you miss about sports, whether you're retired like me or you know, a player who gets, you know, his career's over, is, you know, those memories, you know, that emotional connection that you build with your teammates is always picked up, whether it's, you know, the 1992 Grey Cup team, the 98 Grey Cup team, the 2001 Grey Cup team. You know, those are very, very special moments for not, you know, just the fans, but also for the participants. Because, as I've always said, that year you were the best. Nobody could ever take that away from you.
Yeah. You mentioned the relationship. The 1992 team had their 25th anniversary. Unfortunately, you had your Lion commitments and couldn't make it that day. But the guys went on the field, and here's Flutie under center, directing guys, telling Carl Bland to go here and telling this guy to go there. It was unbelievable, and they all did it. They all knew exactly where to go. Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, Mark, football, like I said, is a young man's sport, and we play it because it's our job, but we also play it and coach it because it's something that we've always loved. And, it allows you to be young. And so when you can go back and relive some of those moments, you're going to treasure them. And, that boyish joy comes out. And, when you can relive it, like I said, it's very special.
Yeah, and Junior Thurman moved over in coverage. It was just crazy. I couldn't believe it, but anyway.
Junior Thurman. Yeah. Some great names there, Mark.
Oh, yeah. It was good to see him, too. Just for those, you're retired. What does retirement look like? What do? Just lay back and, unwind after a long and productive and successful career in football?
Well, Mark, again, with COVID here, obviously that really slowed everything down for everybody. And, the one thing you start to do is appreciate even being on a show like this so that you can sit down and talk about, some of the things that were normal and some of the things that, just were an everyday part of life. If COVID has done nothing, I think it's making people appreciate, what they've had. And, for us, being retired, has finally sunk in, especially, as I say, since we returned from Arizona in April. We stuck pretty much close to home. And when you have an opportunity to reconnect with a city or a radio station or individuals, you take the advantage and you appreciate it.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations on winning the award. Great to catch up with you. I can't wait for next year when I'm hoping the CFL is back to some level of normalcy and we'll be in Vancouver and catch up in person, and really appreciate you taking the time tonight.
Well, that's true, Mark. Thank you very much. And like I say, I want to thank the fans and anybody that was involved with that, because I just, as I said, and I say this humbly, there's a lot of great candidates. I was very, very fortunate to be surrounded by great coaches, great personnel. We had Roy Shivers, who did a tremendous, tremendous job for us. And, I'm hoping that he gets into the Hall of Fame in the next year or two. And when you look at John Huffnagel, and it goes on and on and on and on, winning games was difficult. But it's something that the guys really did a good job at.
No question. Wally, thank you very much, and we'll catch up soon.
Good talking to you, Mark, and stay safe, and enjoy. As you say, you got some great weather. Enjoy it.
Okay, that's right. Not for long, but anyway. Okay, Wally Buono joining us tonight. You voted him the outstanding coach in Stampeder history, given our online poll, and really good to catch up with him. Sports Talk is here. We'll take this quick timeout.